Hey guys, another week, another Christians Engaged podcast. I love that we release these every Monday morning. You can check them out on all of our social media platforms, but our YouTube channel is probably the most popular. But this week we are highlighting one of the videos from our Wake Up Conference last year. Every year we invite government leaders from the federal government, the state government, all across our government, local government, to be a part of our Wake Up Conference, because we believe if you can hear Christian elected officials, it will give you hope. Right,
absolutely,
Cameron?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How did hearing these government officials that love Jesus, how did that impact your heart?
Yeah, it's huge. They walk in so much humility just to see, one, the platform the Lord's given them is because of their heart for the Lord and because they have lived a life of humility before him and of open hands of, use me wherever you want. Y'all are going to hear some really cool stories, specifically with Judge Mack, of like where the Lord took him from where he first was to where he is now, and just how humility has marked their steps every step of the way, 100%, and encouraged me and challenged me in many ways.
You're going to love this panel. It's led by State Representative Matt Schaefer from Texas. Matt is on our National Advisory Board. Congressman Michael Cloud on our National Advisory Board, just a great man of God, Oral Roberts University graduate, served at a church for 10 years before he ran for Congress. Judge Wayne Mack, a Justice of the Peace from Montgomery County in Texas, just an incredible minister of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And our railroad commissioner, one of our railroad commissioners in Texas, Wayne Christian, he's just singing a Southern gospel band.
Did you know that?
He did.
What?
He used to sing in a Southern gospel band, and then he ran for state representative, served there, and now is one of our railroad commissioners statewide in Texas. I know.
Wow.
He is a fun man, so he handles everything energy in our state.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't think that was a real godly thing, right?
Sure. No, that's a great point. That's a great point. And the point that Schaefer will make is God gives dignity to every job that he gives a person. So yeah, just like what the Lord had Wayne doing before that was just as important as he's doing now.
Exactly. So you're going to be so blessed by these government leaders. Come to our Wake Up Conference in November, November 3rd and 4th, Cottonwood Creek, Allen, Texas. Congressman Cloud, if you love him, is going to be back with us. He's there every year. He is our main member of Congress that we work with day to day. I cannot say enough about Michael and Roselle Cloud and how much I adore them. But we've got so many other government officials, State Senator Brian Hughes, Representative Stephanie Borowitz from Pennsylvania, and lots more. So check that out. We'll see you guys in November and listen to this incredible panel. We'll be back in a few minutes. Welcome to the Conversations with Christians Engaged podcast. I'm your host, Bunny Pounds, the president of Christians Engaged. This ministry exists to awaken, motivate, educate, and empower ordinary believers in Jesus Christ to do three things: to pray for our elected officials and our nation regularly, to vote in every election to impact our culture, and to engage in some form of civic education or involvement for the well-being of our nation.
So thankful, Bunny, for what you do. A lot of people talk the talk, but you really walk the walk.
I love it, love it. Love teaming up with you, Bunny. So excited about what you're doing and the people you're reaching.
And I will stand and lock arms with this woman of God, Bunny Pounds, any day of the week.
Bunny, you are a new hero of mine.
America is worth it. Now is the time. America needs your involvement. Please take our pledge to pray, vote, and engage. Join with a movement of other Christians that are doing these three simple things that can really impact this nation. Join us.
Thank you, Bonnie, for that very kind introduction. And as I've listened to some of the speakers, and particularly, Chip Roy talking about prayer, and pray, vote, engage, I know that a lot of you in this room pray for your government leaders. You really do. And I want you to know that from my perspective, and I know from the men on this stage's perspective, those prayers really do matter to us. We often go out, whether we're at the grocery store or at church or somewhere, and some Christian brother or sister comes up to us and says, Matt, we're praying for you. And they don't just say that, they mean it. And it really does matter. You know, it talks about in Timothy when Paul's admonishing them to pray for those rulers and those in authorities, and it's so that you may have a peaceful and tranquil life, because the decisions that are made by our government leaders affect our daily lives, that whether we have safe neighborhoods and clean water and good schools and roads to drive on, these decisions actually matter, and God does want there to be peace and tranquility on earth. And praying for our government leaders is just a simple biblical admonition and something that we've got to do. So thank you for your prayers, and thank you for that being part of the wonderful mission of Christians Engaged. Congressman Cloud, I want to start with you. You're a guy who spent years just working in the church and kind of stepping into more of an activist role. And at some point, God led you into being one of 435 congressmen in Washington. And as I hear you speak, and I've been around you and had been in conversation with you, I know that you're a man who reads the Bible. And that doctrine, the biblical doctrine, is penetrating you and becomes part of your heart, part of your head. I want to ask you, how do you translate that into your duty as a congressman, whether that be how you vote, how you speak on major issues, or maybe even how you interact with your congressmen, fellow colleagues in Washington who may be hostile or don't agree with you, but how does the doctrine translate into your duty?
That's, I think, probably 20, 30 minutes on that, and I'm going to try to keep it down to a couple. But it's really, I remember when I was just getting started, and I just had a heart for the country. I didn't know what that meant. And I asked somebody, you know, what should I do at this point? I'm in my young 20s, and they said, study theology. And I was really kind of surprised. I thought it'd be like, you know, something else. But our worldview is going to naturally shape everything. And we have to be very intentional about intentionally developing a Christian worldview. And it weighs into all these discussions. Now, it's not the government's job to make anyone to be a Christian or to try to do that. What our job at the federal level is to protect the liberties, to protect freedom, and allow the people of God to do their best work. Now, there are moral issues about life and those kind of things where certainly we have to protect those values. So use the scripture as a guide, use the Constitution certainly as a guide. When it comes to a lot of the international geopolitical things, I'm always asking the question of what's God trying to get done in the world, in a sense. And so, at lunch we talked about Afghanistan and how it quickly went from a developing Christian nation to back to being one of the most persecuted places on earth for people of faith. And so people will talk about, you know, equipment left there and everything, but I'm very aware that you know, us having that presence is important. And so in all these issues, it's trying to, from a godly perspective, weigh what God's trying to get done at the and then understanding the institutions that God's put in place. So there's a place for the family, there's a place for the church, there's a place for your state and local government, and there's a place for the federal government. All those are God ordained in their authorities. And sometimes we as people of faith even get that mixed up when we start asking the federal government to do the church's job, or we start asking other people to do the family's job, or we start doing that. So our particular federal government was, we understood God gave authority to man. People of our country gave our federal government limited authority to protect those liberties, but we have to recognize what the role of each of those is and then vote along those lines and develop policy that's in that box.
Thank you for that. Commissioner Christian, Representative Christian, I think maybe the best job you had might have been serving in the Texas House of Representatives. I don't know, but you were a business guy who ended up in the Texas legislature where you dealt with broad range of issues. So everything from criminal justice to roads to schools to you name it. Then you ended up as now the chairman of the Texas Railroad Commission, which has authority over all our oil and gas and coal resources in the state of Texas. And here we are in our country in the midst of a historic conversation about how we use the resources from the earth, what we do with oil and gas, and this questions about climate. How does your biblical understanding of Christian principles translate into this conversation and apply to this conversation about energy and resources and how we are stewards of God's earth?
Well, most important thing, it's God's gift to man. And real early in the scripture, as you, I think, reference, God told us real quick that man was the one that was supposed to take care of this. You know, and it was our responsibility to do it. And you look then at the truth. And I know that we're in a day and age where my truth is your truth and whatever. I think you mentioned that, Congressman. But the fact is, when we look at the truth of the history is, for the last 100 years, let's give real quick, the biggest scam in history I found in the 6 years I've been as your railroad commissioner is this Green New Deal, environmental catastrophe. All this is the biggest scam on public worldwide. And frankly, we are guilty of that to the extent that I can go to a church, I can go to a Republican club, and they'll say, oh, we want the clean environment. We want oil and gas to clean up. Folks, let me tell you something. We've just lived through the last 100 years, and the temperature, the Paris Accord, all this environmental stuff is saying, we've gone up 2 degrees in the last 100 years, and if we go up another degree and a half in the next 30 or 40 years, we're all going to die, right? So we're going to spend $78 trillion. First bill Biden signed when he got back in was Paris Accord. And he says, we're going to spend $78 trillion, hundreds of thousands of jobs worldwide to perhaps keep the temperature from going up a degree and a half the next 20, 30 years. Now, let me give you some facts that people don't consider. The past 100 years, when the temperature went up 2 degrees, we decreased environmental deaths by 98%. So more folks didn't die when the temperature went up 2 degrees for the past 100 years. Now, how are we going to fix a degree and a half in the next 40 or 50? We're going to take away oil and gas, which has kept us warm and cool during hot and cold times, and we're going to fix it by doing away with the protectants God gave us the last 100 years to fix it. Does this sound like a logical process? But we have started worshiping at the throne of Mother Nature, and here's how we think, and I want us to be very careful to re-educate. We think, as they have been teaching us for 40 years, from Al Gore's time, that Mother Earth, if it weren't disturbed by man, would be a perfect balance. And anything man does messes that up. And so anything we do is bad. If we make water cleaner, stronger, better available, that's wrong, because that's disturbing Mother Nature. Now, that's the same thing that I read in the Bible is worshiping Baal. We worship Mother Earth. And why would God have created the Garden of Eden if Mother Earth was so friendly outside?
Thank you for that. Well, I just threw him a softball and he knocked it out of the park. How about that? Senator Hall, you called yourself earlier a recovering, apathetic Christian about government. You spent a career, you told me you worked on strategic nuclear missiles at one time. You've got an engineering background. You had a long career in business. And then later in life, you won an election in 2014 by 300 votes and are now serving in the Texas Senate. And as a Christian, I've watched you walk the walk. I get to have long conversations with you, but I know you're a man that at times will challenge even your own leadership, whether it be someone who is another Republican, but you believe you're standing on principle, and I've seen you have the courage to stand when you believe that is right. Talk to me about how your Christian faith inspires you to do that.
Thank you, Matt. It's real simple. My faith in God is I know He's in charge.
Yes.
And He causes all things to happen for the good for those who have faith in Him. And He never said it would be easy. You remember, He did not say, pick up your bouquet of roses and follow me. He said, pick up your cross. There's a warning. He says, I'm going to make it tough on you. But I'm in charge. And I know that duty is mine and outcome is in His hand. So I don't worry so much about the outcome, but the fact that I don't have to answer to anyone else, period, except to God, yes, for what I do. And to tie that back to me getting into office, the 300 votes, it was nothing I ever intended to do. I only ended up running because nobody else would run for the office. And my wife and I prayed about it. And we said, you know, for a time such as this, if not us, who, not now, when? Now, she's not here, but if she were, she'd say, yeah, I was praying, God, don't let him go do this thing in there. But I stepped into it having no idea what I was doing. Zero idea. Matter of fact, I had to send off and get 3 books from Amazon on how to run a campaign. We never had a campaign manager. We didn't have a consultant initially. We just did it. But our faith was, I felt God was calling me to do that because he put a heavy guilt trip on me from a Tea Party meeting where I learned about our founding fathers and how we were founded as a Christian nation. And shortly after that, somebody gave me a book by Tom Brokaw talking about the greatest generation that was my father, my grandfather, my aunt and uncle, and what they had done with our country after living through the Great Depression and beating 2 huge armies, biggest battles in the world. And we didn't conquer them. We exported liberty to them, American liberty we'd fought for so long. And what the guilt trip was, that I was about to be remembered as in the first generation of Americans to leave the country worse than I'd inherited it. And God said, you know, I've been pretty good to you. It's time for you to start giving back. And so that's how I got involved. And so between that and my faith that whatever he lays in front of me, my response to it, I don't have to please anybody in the Senate, in the House, or any place else. I just have to make sure that God and I are in agreement on what I'm doing. And I really don't worry about the outcome, because it's in his hands.
Thank you for that. Judge Mack, one of our biblical commands is to seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before our God. You serve as a judge down at Montgomery County, live in Conroe. You serve as a Justice of the Peace judge, which as people might know, that's small claims court. That's people's court where we bring ordinary type lawsuits and disputes in to have a judge weigh in on that. And, you know, that courthouse where you are, you started out working actually as a janitor there. And, you know, I think that's very important for people to realize that the people that clean our buildings, what an important job they have. If you're like me, you grew up poor and you worked and you were faithful in the little things and God honored that, and that there's honor and dignity in every job that God has given someone, no matter what that job is. And God honored you with a different role. And I want you to talk about how you use your Christian faith to influence people who come before you because they're in conflict. They're upset about something. They don't want to be in your court. Will you talk about that?
Yes, sir. Thank you. And it's a great privilege. I tell people my memoir is going to be from janitor to judge and all the crap I cleaned up in between. But we've heard everybody talk about the favor of God in their lives. When I never viewed myself as just a janitor. I did everything as unto the Lord. And we have folks here today that are going to see this live. They're going to be watching the video of this. And we need to plant where we need to grow where we're planted. And so in my faith, it teaches me that in him I move and live and have my being. And so I've always worked as unto the Lord, and I've never asked for a raise. I've never asked for a promotion, though I had all those things. The only time I ever asked anything is when I ran for office. I asked the people of our county to run for us. And because of my service in the community, people expect us to have a godly, biblical worldview. And we do things as unto the Lord, and that expectation is we shouldn't have to hide it under a bushel. Now, I will tell you that taking a stand for your faith will get you sued. Bunny is the former client of First Liberty Institute. I'm a current client of First Liberty Institute because I'm being sued by atheists because we do have an opening ceremony that includes recognizing chaplains that serve in our community, and we allow them to give a brief invocation. Texas Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court all have a brief invocation that is read before every case.
The Texas House of Representatives, we do the same thing.
And so we do that, and we have every mosque, temple, synagogue, every church you can imagine representing in our chaplaincy program. So any of those chaplains come, we allow them to do a brief invocation. And we know that when you solemnize an event like that, when you give God glory, what does he say? Where 2 or 3 are gathered, where is he? Right there. And our nation was founded on this. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. We shouldn't be worried about being canceled. We should be standing up and doing what we're supposed to be called to do, and that's to be salt and light, as we've heard through this conference. And I know I came last year, and I left there, felt like I drank from a
from a spiritual fire hose all the whole weekend that we were here, and this weekend has been no different, Bunny. Thank you for that. And we as elected officials, the greatest privilege in America is to have public trust. And all of us up here, we have public trust, and we need to do what God's given us and do it as unto Him.
Thank you for that. What a testimony. Okay, we're going to kind of move into a lightning round here since we're getting shorter on time. But what I want to do is ask you all the same question. But I want you to think of that man or woman out there, or young man or young woman, who is looking at what's happening in the world right now and is a Christian and is seeing what's happening maybe in a public school or in local government or in the federal government, state government, and thinking, what is my role? What should I be thinking about doing as a Christian? Do I leave my job? Do I, you know, what do I do? What do you say to that young man or woman who's a Christian who says, what do I need to do with what's happening in the world today?
You know, we talk about the movies we've seen in our lives about the Wild West and go that way, young man, make your way, make a change. What a wonderful time to people to sit back and to tell a young person, do you really want to make a difference? Do you really want to make a change? Do you want to see your life do something different in the world? Then don't join the mob. Don't sit back with all your friends and eat up all this garbage and stuff. We need people standing in a place that you can make a real difference in this world. And how would you like to have the power of the universe behind you? How would you like to have the power in your life and your heart to come from nowhere or nobody? And I can show you story after story after story of people that had nothing, do nothing, and you can become a hero. And you can become a hero in the work that you do. And there's no place available. The world doesn't allow that. The world doesn't do that anymore. We're all a bunch of victims. The world's teaching to be victims. And the pie is getting smaller and smaller and smaller from victimhood, from people wanting their chunk of the pie, instead of back about 30, 40 years ago after World War II that we earlier this morning talked about, where people were a different mindset. It was, I want to build my business. I want to build my job. Chaplain Cruz that came over, his story is such an inspiration, from nothing to a position of power and a senator for a son. That's the American dream. And we can reignite that only through the body of Christ to our young people.
Congressman Cloud.
I think for a lot of young people, you know, social media is such a big thing. It's a very self-absorbed culture. And I think getting them to understand the difference between significance and prominence, because there's this need for clicks and the attention economy and all those sorts of things, and getting them to understand what it means to study, to show yourselves approved, and to put the time in to being hidden. You know, when I worked at a church, my job, I was in the media department, so I spent the vast majority of my time in a room that nobody could see. All my friends were on stage talking, doing this, doing that, and whatever, and God had me in a room working on me, you know. And there's a lot of, you know, you look at the time Jesus spent before Sermon on the Mount, just walking in the desert alone and those kinds of, that time is important for God to develop you. And the importance of being faithful to that, and whatever your circle of influence is, you don't even have to try to expand it. You try to be faithful in it and let God expand it. Just be faithful to be the best you can be, and whatever, do what God has you to do in that circle, and be faithful to that moment, whatever the moment is, whatever your circle of influence is, and let God take care of the rest.
Senator Hall.
I don't think there's a person in this room here today is here by accident. I mentioned that earlier. I think God has already started to speak to every person that's in this room. The question is, are you listening to him? Are you listening to the world? And there is a lot out there to be done. Some of us running for office. I mean, there are no two more important offices out there than precinct chair and school board members. True. That's what we need good ones of. And God's speaking to you some way about doing something or getting involved somehow, if it's nothing more than helping a precinct chair get people involved in it. But the key is to seek God's wisdom in what you should be doing and not somebody else's. You don't need to be talking about somebody else what you should do with this. Just go to God. Take a few minutes every morning. Get on your knees and say, God, what is it you would have me do? And then look for what he puts in front of you. Look for the opportunities. Look for the phone calls you get. Look at the letters you get or who you end up talking to, and start putting the pieces together. I don't say that because that's what happened to me, because when I talked earlier about deciding to run, I thought that was the dumbest decision you've ever made. You don't know a thing about what to do. You don't even know where to begin. But people began to show up saying, Bob, you need to do this, or do you need a campaign plan? Do you need a website? Do you need this? Do you need that? They showed up with everything but money. So, anything. But seriously, it's up to you and God, because you just have to have the attitude you'd rather stand with God and be criticized by the world than stand with the world and disappoint God. He's got a mission for you. He's already started talking to you. Listen to him.
Why do I got to go last? I guess it's a county government thing. And I gotta go. I will say this, is that God does not need anyone in this room's abilities. He doesn't need it. What God needs is your availability. He needs you to say yes. He needs you to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Whether it's a precinct chair, school board, getting behind somebody, prayer walks in your community, letting the light, the purpose, the power, and the plan of a holy God shine through you each and every second of your day. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. What you've seen up here this in the last 24 hours are people that are on a directed path. Broken, fractured, messed up, people that just all, but what they have is the grace and the purpose and the power and plan of God. God doesn't need your abilities. He needs you to make yourself available to his free-flowing power and plan and purpose. Please do that in Jesus' name. That's the hope of our nation. Please do that in Jesus' name.
Amen to that. I'll take my own shot at answering that question. I recently had an opportunity to talk to a senior in high school who was a Christian, who had become very involved in political discussions amongst a lot of his friends, and told me that many of the students at his high school had become politically aware, politically engaged, and so, wanting to pick my brain as to what was the most important thing for him to do to get into politics. And I told him, I said, I think you need to really understand what the Bible says. I really think that you need to be well-grounded in your theology. And the reason I tell that to a young person is that if you're developing your worldview with respect to politics by what you absorb through social media or CNN or Fox News or a political science course you take at the university, you're starting in the wrong place. There is so much practical wisdom that's found in the Bible for justice, for stewardship, for work, for the family, stewardship of the earth, paying taxes, all these things. There are solid biblical principles that are founded in our theology as Christians. And so if you're thinking about getting involved in politics, make sure that you understand what the Bible says on the issue before you try to speak into the public space. Because I will tell you this, the Word of God does not return void, ever. And even if it is scoffed at and mocked, and you think that nobody's receiving what you're saying, the power is not in how clever I am when I deliver that word. The tone of my voice, the clothes I'm wearing, the power of that word is in the word itself, because it is the word of the creator of the universe. And that speaks into politics in every aspect of life. And so continue to pray for your government leaders, vote and engage. And thank you so much to Bunny and all those involved in this organization. We're really grateful. Thank you.
Don't you love these guys? Oh my goodness.
Awesome.
I mean,
so encouraging.
Godly men of God that are serving in government. And we have women and men all over our government, guys. Yeah. I want you to think, after you've watched this, they put their pants on one leg at a time, Cameron, as you're enjoying your Dr. Pepper and your popcorn, because we're having like dinner and a movie, but popcorn and Dr. Pepper as we're watching these videos. How did that encourage you, and how should we as believers really understand we have an impact on our government?
Yeah, exactly. Because even if you don't run for office or you're not in their position, the Lord has given you, just like Christians Engage talks about, voting, praying the word of God, There's school board races. Like, there's so many different local things you can do.
Yes.
And so to see, I mean, think about Judge Mack being a janitor to Justice of the Peace. My grandfather was Justice of the Peace. So I love that I can connect to him in that way. But to see, like, Justice of the Peace, like Schaefer was saying, that is a more local duty. And my grandfather, he was doing that for, I mean, years. And so to see the way the Lord uses that faithfulness, same thing with Judge Mack. He was faithful as a janitor. You never know what the Lord's going to do with the little things, with the obedience. And so I just so encouraged. There's so many ways for you to get involved. If you're a janitor, if you're literally whatever it is, just all the Lord asks for is your daily obedience. And he will, like, I'm literally sitting right here with you for no other reason than the Lord doing whatever he wants to do as he calls me to faithfulness. Before this, the step before this, I had to be faithful for him to make this connection. So
exactly. So it's just living out our life in obedience to the Lord. That's and right. Being open to operating in his presence. And that's what,
yes.
You know, Judge Mack and all these guys have done through their life. Judge Mack will be with us this year at our conference. He'll be in a breakout session. And one of the highlights of our conference, Cameron, is it's early Saturday morning at 8 a.m., but we have breakouts. And we're doing quite a few this year. And this is where, off the record, you can ask questions on state, federal, local government. We're doing, I think, 5 or 6 different breakouts. They're going to be
awesome.
All these elected officials will be there. It is going to be an incredible time to really dig into different topics that you might have interest in. And reminder that the vision and the purpose of Christians Engage is to help you take the burden that you have for America and move it into action.
Right. Right.
You know, simply start praying for America. Start
Absolutely.
Talking to God. Start voting in every election and start engaging. And we can train you guys up in our curriculum packages. Check out our classes page. Check out our local government class. Check out our On-Ramp to Civic Engagement seminar. And we want to help you.
Yes.
We want to help you.
Absolutely.
And Cameron, we had a really cool thing at our conference. We're going to have a couple people at our conference that were elected to office after they went through our classes. And one of them had never been involved before. And she's now on the school board in Victoria County in Texas.
Praise God.
Because she went through our classes.
Come on.
God is good,
Praise
right?
God. Oh, that is so amazing.
So good. So be inspired. Come November 3rd and 4th, Cottonwood Creek Church in Allen, Texas. Guys, we keep the prices of this conference very low. So come and hang out with us, and we will see you there. See you next week. Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible podcast. What a time we've had. We love you so much. We love being in your life. Have you subscribed? Have you shared this with your family and friends? Please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Rumble, wherever you get your audio or video pods. We need your help. This mission is undergirded by individuals just like you that support this ministry monthly, annually, and whenever you think about us, to be able to reach over 1 million Christians in the next 2 years. That's our goal. We want to empower 1 million Christians around America to pray, vote, and engage regularly. Will you help us? We're here to do that, and we need your help. I want to say thank you to our partners at The Stream. What an incredible online publication put out by James Robison and Life Outreach International. As we come together across denominational lines as believers to discern what God's saying about the news of the day and to hear from different viewpoints, check out The Stream, make it your homepage, and get on their email list. This product is amazing. Also, our partners at Edify App, put out by Christian Post. This podcast app is a convergence of Bible teachers around America. We're excited to be a part of Edify App. Check out all their other podcasts. Thank you so much again for caring about this nation. We're here to help you pray, vote, and engage. We'll see you next week.